it becomes this sort of can't miss day. You have to, you know, you have to talk at least, even if you don't even believe in God, or you, and if you're Jewish, you're in the synagogue and you're thinking about your sins, hearing that you need atonement for them, pounded again and again and again. And the amazing thing as believers is not just that we believe that our sin is real and a holy God is real, but that we can have forgiveness and thus freedom. As we were praying, ready to come in here, I remembered something that I'd forgotten previously. Do you know the year of Jubilee, right? The great 50 year when all things are reset, this picture of the great freedom that God wants to bring us? That was to begin after the shofar blast on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. Once our sins were free, once we were forgiven of our sins and cleansed, God set us free. And so we know in Yeshua, he sets us free. So a Day of Atonement is both a time to bow our knees and before a holy God and realizing how broken we are, but realizing the incredible gift that God has bestowed on us and the incredible desire and way he's made for us and the freedom he wants to give us in his presence. It's a powerful day. I think of King Solomon at his great prayer of dedication. He was on his knees before God, yet with his arms outstretched. And I think of Yom Kippur, we are in humble, we humble ourselves before God, but yet God lifts us up. And we lift our hands outstretched. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Hope everyone has a bulletin to begin our service. We are gathered together, the people of the living God, to observe the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, known in the scriptures as Yom Kippur. We are here to contemplate and rededicate our lives in view of the great atonement which God provided for us in our Messiah Yeshua. Of him it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. It is true and certain that God reconciled the world to himself in Messiah, not counting our sins against us. We have gathered to recall the great mercies of God, to recognize and repent of our unresponsiveness to him, and to present ourselves anew as living sacrifices, dedicated to serve him who loved us and sent the Messiah Yeshua to be the complete and final atonement for our sins. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and bless you today, and we come before you in humble adoration. And I pray you will bless our service, that as we read liturgy, as we think of these great traditions, that you will make them alive in our hearts. That we will come, that we will sense your spirit, Lord, both bowing us in humility before you and exalting us and opening our eyes to your incredible gift of atonement. Bless this time, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Let's rise together for the Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu et Adonai HaMavorach. Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
There is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Messiah Yeshua, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Let us therefore confess in the words of the Shema.
Together. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuto, Leolam Vahed. Together, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol meodecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Please remain standing as we turn to page 4 for the Amidah. The prayer that has been preserved down through the centuries, which was part of the temple ceremony and then was kept as part of the synagogue liturgy for centuries and centuries, and some of the concepts and terms are so meaningful, especially on the Day of Atonement. Open my mouth, O Lord, and my lips will proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, and God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, awesome, exalted God, who bestows loving kindness, creator of all. You remember your covenant love to our ancestors, to bring a redeemer to their children's children.
Melech Ozer u'Mashiach u'Magen. You are the King who helps and saves and shields. Blessed are you, Lord, Shield of Abraham. Your might, O Lord, is boundless. You give life to the dead. Great is your saving power. Faithful are you in living life, giving life to the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who gives life to the dead. You are holy, and your name is holy, and the holy ones daily give you praise. For you are the one who forgives Israel and pardons all who truly seek you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated.
It's amazing to recognize on this night this amazing, holy, and powerful God, who at the same time is able to draw us near to him. It's amazing. He's all-powerful and mighty and the creator, and yet he desires us to be near. He is pure and holy, and yet he desires to make us holy. So as we sing on page 6, holy unto you, let's make this our prayer tonight, that we would in fact be holy in his sight, that we would come to him with a humble heart. We'll start with the chorus. Holy unto you. Holy unto you.
this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come to you with a humble heart and seeking more of you, wanting less of me, wanting more of you. And from my deepest parts, God of mercy, hear. And comes an urgent prayer that my heart's desire is to you draw near. Holy unto you, holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me whole. Holy unto you, kadosh, kadosh lecha, kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. I give myself to you on the altar lay. And Spirit, come and fill so that I can more follow and obey. And let your light more shine in this wounded heart. And clean and purify so that you can more of yourself impart. Holy unto you, holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me whole. Holy unto you, kadosh, kadosh lecha, kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha.
We're going to sing the next song just in Hebrew, but if you would, just take a look at the English down below it. The bottom of page 6, Shalom Rav, it says, Lord, grant great peace to Israel, your people forever. For you are the King, the God of all peace. And it is good in your eyes to bless your people, Israel, in every time and in every season, with your peace. This night, Shabbat, and this night, Yom Kippur, is a night that God desires for us to experience his peace that is beyond all understanding.
Shalom Rahab. Al Israel amcha, tasihim leolam. Shalom Rahab. Al Israel amcha, tasihim leolam.
Shalom Rahab.
Shalom Rahab. Al Israel amcha, Tasihi Leolam. Shalom Rab, Hal Israelam Kam. Tasihi Leolam. Ki Atahu Melech Adon. Lecho HaShalom. Ki Ata Hu Melech Adon. Lecho HaShalom. Shalom Rahab Al Israel Amcha. Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rahab Al Israel Amcha. Tasihim leolam, v'tov b'necha levarech et amcha Yisrael, b'chol lev u'b'chol shah b'shlomecha. Shalom rahav al Yisrael amcha. Tasihim leolam. Shalom Rahab Hal Israel amcha. Tasihim leolam. Tasihim leolam. Tasihim leolam.
We come to the Al Het, the recitation of our sins. In the Hebrew, it's one for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, symbolically speaking of all our sins, A to Z. And here we have done it in English, but again, it's each one of these speaks for all our sin. And after each section, we'll have a little time of silence, which Rob will close by canting in Hebrew our line there in English. And you can stand or sit, whichever you prefer.
May it be thy will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, to forgive all our sins, to pardon all our iniquities, and to grant us atonement for all our transgressions.
For the sin which we have committed in thy sight through arrogance, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by breaking promises, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by casting off responsibility, for the sin which we have committed before thee by denying and lying, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by evil thoughts, for the sin which we have committed before thee through fraud and falsehood, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight through gossip, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by hatred.
V'yal kulo Elohai slichot Salach lanu michal lanu kaper lanu. For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua.
For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being insincere in relationships, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through lack of justice, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight either knowingly or unknowingly, for the sin which we have committed before thee, as well as the sin which we have committed in thy sight through meditation of the heart that was sinful, the sin which we have committed before thee by not honoring thy name, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight openly or secretly, for the sin which we have committed before thee by being presumptuous, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being quick to spread rumors, for the sin which we have committed before thee by resisting parents or teachers.
V'al kulo Elohai salichot Salach lanu michal lanu Kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by scoffing and ridiculing others, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through talking idly, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by unchastity, for the sin which we have committed before thee through violence, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by wronging our neighbor, for the sin which we have committed before thee through excess in eating and drinking, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by yet being proud, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through our lack of zeal.
V'al kulo Elohai salichot Salach lanu michal lanu Kaper lanu. For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua. Let's stand together for Avinu Malkeinu. Really, the Avinu Malkeinu is so fitting following this confessional Al-Chet because it really reminds us of how we stand before God, that nothing that we can do or say cleanses us. Only when he shows his grace and mercy are we cleansed. Let's read together the translation in English before I chant it in Hebrew. Our Father, our King, be gracious to us and answer us, for we have no merit. Show us charity and loving kindness and save us. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu va'aneinu, ki ein banu ma'asim. Haseh imanu Tzedaka v'chesed, haseh imanu tzedaka v'chesed, v'hoshienu. Together, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, chaneinu va'aneinu, ki ein banu masim. Haseh imanu tzedaka v'chesed. Haseh imanu tzedaka v'chesed v'hoshienu.
new. And we continue to beseech God. Let's read the translation together at the bottom of 9. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Hashiveinu, 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 Adonai Elecha, Vena Shuva, Vena Shuva, Chadesh, Chadesh, Yameinu Kikedem. Once again, Hashiveinu, 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 Adonai Elecha, Vena Shuva, Vena Shuva, Chadesh, Chadesh, Yameinu Kekedem. Let's remain, some of us will remain standing. Those of us who want to remember a loved one as we turn to page 10 for the Kaddish. It's a time, the Kaddish, while thought of as a prayer of grief, is actually a prayer of thanks during a time of grief. It's acknowledging God during this time as we are grieving or as we remember the sweet thoughts of a loved one. So if you want to remember that, join in with the Kaddish.
Yitkadal v'yitkadash shemei rabah, v'yalma divarach hirutei, v'yamlich malchutei, v'chayechon uv'yomechon, uv'chayedichol beit Yisrael, v'agala uv'zman kadri v'yimeru, amen. Yehe shemei rabah mavarach, Le'olam ulal me'al maya yitbarach, yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpar v'yituramam, v'yitnase v'yitadar, v'yitalev v'yitalal shemei dekudesha, b'richu le'ela min kol b'chata v'yishirata, tush b'chata v'nechemata di'amiran b'yalma v'yimeru, yehe shlama rabba min shemaya, V'chayim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yimeru. Oseh shalom b'mramav, hu ya'aseh shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yimeru. Amen. Together at the bottom of 10. Magnified and sanctified be his great name in the world, which he hath created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days and during the life of all the house of Israel, even speedily and at a near time, and let us say amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted, extolled, and honored, magnified and lauded be the name of the Holy One, blessed be he, though he be high above all the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world, and let us say, amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all Israel, and let us say, amen. He who makes peace in his high places, may he make peace for us and for all Israel. And let us say, amen. You may be seated.
It is so nice to have that time to remember those that we love and that we miss, who have passed on. And God is so good to have given us those wonderful people. And so let's praise Him together. There is none like Him. We continue on page 11 with Praise Adonai.
Who is like Him? The lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean rolls to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise. Who is like Him? The lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, and all the angels and the saints sing praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, the nations of the earth, and all the angels and the saints sing praise.
The next song we're only going to sing as well in Hebrew, but I want to make sure that we understand what we're saying in the English. On the top of page 12, say Elohim. It says, Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sin of the world, please have mercy on us, Lord and our Redeemer, Son of God, our grace. Yeshua, Yeshua, we worship before You.
Say Elohim, Hanosechata Haolam, Rachem Alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Hanenu, Rachem Alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Hanenu, Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Say hi. Hanosei Hatat Haolam, Rachem na alenu, Adon ve'goel, Ben Elohim chanenu. Rachem na alenu, Adon ve'goel, Ben Elohim chanenu. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu mishtachabim lepanecha. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu mishtachabim lepanecha.
Amen. It is our time to hear God's word, which has been preserved from this time. I call my daughter, Robin Selwitz, to come and join us as we read from portions of Leviticus 16. And we'll read the blessings before the Torah reading together. Baruch et Adonai HaMevorach. Adonai HaMevorach
Le'olam.
Baruch Adonai HaMevorach Le'olam Avad. Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haolam, Asher bachar binviim, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen.
This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area with a young bull for a sin offering, for a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. So he is to tie a linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must wash himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for an offering. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take it behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it as an atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting. No one is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it, and to cover from the uncleanness of the Israelites. Sorry. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send them away into the desert, into the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it into the wild. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet, v'chaye olam nata b'tochenu. Baruch atah Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You gave us your true instruction and planted everlasting life in our midst. You are the Blessed One who gave us the Torah. Our Haftorah portion for tonight is from the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. This is a portion of Scripture that is not part of the synagogue cycle of readings. In our cycle of readings, we go through the entire five books of Moses during the year, and then there's portions of the prophets and the writings that correspond to those five books, but not all of the rest of the Tanakh is recited during the year. So this is actually a chapter that I never encountered until I was probably about 18. And it is really something to hear the prophet prophesy of the Messiah 700 years before the Common Era. I'll be chanting verses 4 through 6 in Hebrew and in English. Achen halayenu hu nasa umachovenu svalam va'anachnu chashavnu hu nagua muke Elohim umune. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. V'hu micholal mipshainu, meduka me'avonoteinu, musar shlomeinu alav, uvachavurato nirpalanu. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Kulanu katzon tahinu, ish ledarko paninu, v'adonai hivgia bo et avon kulanu. All of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, the sins of us all to fall on him. Amen. Let's stand together for the beautiful response to hearing God's word. When we read that it is a tree of life, it's referring to the word of God that has been preserved through the centuries so we could learn of it this very day. Let's read the English first and then we'll recite the Hebrew together. English at the bottom of 13. It is a tree of life to those who grasp it, and its supporters are happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we will repent. Renew our days as of old. Etz chayim hi lemachazikim ba v'tomcheha miushar teracheha darche noam v'chonetivoteha shalom hashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva chadesh, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu kekedem. You may be seated. At this time, Garrett Smith is going to bring us a message from the Word of God, and may we be attentive, and may we let these words deeply penetrate us.
As I mentioned last week, off of my talk at Brandeis, where I was had the opportunity to speak on the subject. Is this on? To speak on the subject, how does the New Covenant, the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, see itself as a continuation of the Torah and not something completely new? And I think it's critical as well, not just that the Old Covenant or the New Covenant just doesn't see itself as simply not something new and a continuation of the Torah. It actually sees the Torah itself as being incomplete. You know, many times in traditional Judaism, we see the Torah as complete, and we try to go back to the Torah. But in New Covenant, New Testament understanding, the Torah is actually incomplete. That the Torah itself is pointing forward to its ultimate fulfillment that will come in the New Covenant. And today we want to talk about, how does Yom Kippur fit into that? Yom Kippur is a fascinating holiday because you can actually go so small and so specific into every single little detail of what happens all of Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, because the scripture gives you incredible details to what's to happen on Yom Kippur. And often we do that, and it's fascinating because every detail is significant. But today we're going to do the opposite. Today we're actually going to look at it in all of its context and try to get as wide as possible. How does Yom Kippur fit in the widest of contexts of what God is accomplishing in the Scriptures? And so tonight we're going to take a look, firstly, what is God doing in the Scriptures as a whole? What is God doing with Israel? And lastly, what is God doing specifically with Yom Kippur, and how does it fit in to the big picture? Is this line a good start? So what's God doing in the world? What is the big picture? Well, as we talked about last week, the Bible begins and ends in parallel spots. You know, it begins in Genesis, 1, and here's 2, as God kind of sets the garden. He's planted the garden in the east in Eden, and there he puts the man. He's formed. He made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. The middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a river watering the garden, flowed into Eden, separating the four great headwaters. It's just this picture of prosperity and, lacking nothing, these trees coming off, the green, water in the scripture is always symbolic of life, and it's the very source of all life that fills the earth and all that God has created. And that's how it's set. And then, as you know, the very next thing that happens is this man and woman who are given everything suddenly actually rebel against the one who gives it to them. We think how wild it is, why would they ever think? I mean, that's the crazy part about Genesis 3 and the fall, is you think, why would the man and woman ever doubt God? I mean, he's given everything to them. He's given them life. He's given them a guard. He's provided everything for them. What reason do they have to be suspicious? But they didn't trust him, and they didn't believe. And as a result, like any marriage, when mistrust comes in the midst of it, it breaks apart and doesn't stand anymore. And so they broke from God. And the scripture is a story of their breaking and the story of that fall. But then you come all the way to the end of Revelation, and it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, and no longer will there be any curse." So you come all the way to the end of Scripture, and there you are back in the garden again. And the people and the man and woman and all people subsequent who were separated from God, you know, placed outside the garden with the cherubim blocking the way into the Garden of Eden. Now here they are back in that place with access to the tree of life, to eat from the tree of life and live forever. So really that's the big picture of what God does. He says, I made you to be with me. You broke from me, but I will bring you back again so that you can be with me again. And really that's the story of the Scriptures. You know, that is the big picture. Everything that happens in the Scripture, everything fits into that context. If you can't figure out how it fits in that context, you're probably reading it wrong or interpreting it wrong, because that is the big picture of Scripture. So now when we pull a little farther down and say, okay, if that's what God's doing in big Scripture, then what's God's point of Israel? How does that fit into this whole thing? Well, you see, to understand Israel, you got to go right back to the choosing of Israel in Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord said to Abram, who became Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. A couple things just to pull your attention to. I will make you into a great nation. So he's going to go from Abraham, he's going to make him into a nation, and the purpose of that nation will be that all the peoples on earth, all people, so that Israel is not about Israel, it's about the nations, it's about the people. Ultimately in Revelation, it's the healing of the nations. Here, God is looking to bless all the peoples on earth, and they're all going to be blessed through Abraham and through the nation he is going to create. That's the big picture of Israel. They are the means by which God will bless all people. He went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to 12 sons to 70 into Egypt and to the giant incubation tank that was Egypt. You know, with all that prosperity and all the, you know, all they had, and suddenly within 400 years they'd grown from 70 people into a nation of 2 to 3 million. Talk about an incubation tank. So much so that Pharaoh was like, whoa, we got to get rid of these guys. You know, that's the setup, you know. Then Pharaoh rose and knew not Joseph. And the persecution began. But actually, that was from the Lord himself, because he was going to then show himself. Because now he had created his nation that he had said would happen in Genesis 12. And now he was going to redeem them out of the land of Egypt. It's an interesting lesson in suffering. I doubt if they had ever suffered under Egypt, if they ever would have, God would have said, now I want to take you into that land of Israel. Remember that I promised your forefather Abraham? They would have said, yeah, sounds good, but you know, we got it pretty good right here. It's a great lesson that God often, in order to move us, has to do things we don't like. In fact, remember even in the wilderness, they still said, even as bad as it was in Egypt, they still said, hey, can we go back there? Remember the food was great there? They're like, don't you remember you were a slave? But God redeemed them and then essentially married them with a covenant on Mount Sinai and made a covenant with them, said, I will be your God, you'll be my people. And he redeemed them. Remember, they didn't get redeemed because they obeyed the Ten Commandments, right? He redeemed them because he loved them and cared for them. And then he gave them the Ten Commandments and the whole law as a means of living with him. You know, it's a time of sanctification, a way to make them holy. And through that law, remembering the big picture, right, that God wants to redeem, show himself to the world, that through this nation of Israel, they were like the main character in a movie, and that everyone would read the Scriptures and see God and Israel and understand what we're like. Israel was typical man. They'd understand our rebellion, our resistance to God. We'd understand that God's actions towards Israel would be God's action towards us. He showed his nature, his character, his promises, his purposes, all through this nation revealed to the world. He gave the Scriptures through this nation so that all people might understand who he is. Ultimately, he would bring forth, you know, the Messiah through this people. So that's the big thing what God's doing in Israel. They are a giant means of revelation. God reveals himself, even their stiff-neckedness, the mercy God shows them, the way God will never actually finally forsake them. Even as he divorced them, he still promised to restore them. We understand what God's like so that all people could understand how God would act with us and what a covenant-keeping God is. And so then we finally come to and say, okay, I get that. That's the big picture. Then what is God doing specifically then on Yom Kippur? And how does that fit into what God does with Israel? And how does it fit into the great plan of God? So, on Yom Kippur it says, on the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or alien living among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you. to cleanse you, then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. Some interesting pieces there, right? One thing that's kind of interesting right there off the bat is you notice that it was whether native-born or alien living among you? It was a feast not just for the Israelites, but actually for any of the nations whom joined themselves to the God of Israel, which is an interesting kind of foreshadowing in itself. Remember, coming out of Israel, right, coming out of Egypt was a mixed multitude. And already the nations were being gathered to Israel and becoming the people of God, foreshadowing the ultimate cry out to the nations, you know, would come post-New Testament as Israel specifically went to the nations. But even now they're going to the nations. You ever, like, count the mighty men of David and how many of them are from the nations? Uriah the Hittite, right? Where's he from? He's a Hittite. And again, that the nations, Ruth is a foreshadowing of it, Rahab a foreshadowing of all that God's doing, gathering the nations. So here, everyone who comes, this is for not just Israel, but even the nations who had identified with them. And it said, and I think in order to understand what's happening on Kippur, you have to first start with the sacrifices and what God's doing with the tabernacle. Because the interesting thing about, remember the tabernacle, Yom Kippur all happens in this, remember the tent inside of a tent inside of a tent. The Holy of Holies inside the holy place inside the tabernacle. But you have to understand that the tabernacle itself is a giant model of the Garden of Eden, right? You know, garden, they get kicked out to the east when, you know, they get, and the cherubim are guarding the way in to the east, the man, woman, right? Where's the tabernacle open? To the east. Where cherubim, they're woven into the very netting of the tabernacle, into the veil in front of the holy place. They're on top of the ark. You know, there's two giant lampstands. What a surprise. Two lampstands in the holy place, right? And how are they described in the Torah? They're described as trees. You know, and just like there's two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good. All this is just a giant picture of it. And the key thing is in Eden, that's where God is, and people are on the outside. And here in the tabernacle, God's on the inside. It's the holy place, the very presence of God, and no one could ever go in there except one day a year, Yom Kippur. And other than that, all of people were separated from him. So you see, it's a giant picture of the Garden of Eden of the world in this centered place in Israel. So Israel's walking around with the giant plan of God in their midst. And one of the things it was showing that we're on the outside, that you're separated from God. It's showing you that, you know, it's your sin, actually, that keeps you separated. It's the uncleanness of Israel, which, you know, God is holy and absolutely pure. You're sinful, and you're stuck on the outside. And it shows, through atonement, through the sacrifices, that the way in was that something else, here an animal, could bear the cost of your sin. Key idea. What was the way in? How does atonement happen? How can the high priest finally come in on behalf of the people of Israel? With a sacrifice. They sin, the cost of it could be borne by another. And the key idea on Yom Kippur, as it says, right? On this day, atonement will be made for you. It's not yourself. You didn't make atonement for yourself. Israel's sitting out there almost like helpless, surrounding the tabernacle, doing nothing. Watch as atonement is made for you, to cleanse you. Then you will be clean from all your sins. God does it. So it tells you you're separated, you're tossed on the outside, yet you're going to be cleansed so you can come in. It's how Yom Kippur, so it's picturing that. So Yom Kippur then is speaking of something far greater. Because in a New Covenant understanding of it, the book of Hebrews says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. Again, the Torah is not complete. It's not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. In some ways, to me, this is just common sense. It's just an animal. It's a picture. It's not the reality himself. The giant thing is a model, it's a picture, it's a movie trying to communicate something to you. It's trying to prophesy something to you. That ultimately, one is coming who will do this. And as Rob so beautifully canted in Isaiah 53, It's talking about the Messiah to come. You know, he was pierced till this one, this Messiah would come, who's pierced for our transgressions. He's crushed for our iniquities. Again, all these things are happening to him on behalf of us. We transgress, he's pierced. Our iniquities, he's crushed. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we're healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him. Same language as Leviticus 16. Has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just like that ram when Aaron, as Robin read, when Aaron put his hands on the ram, confessed over it all the sins of the nation of Israel. Says this is what the Messiah is. He's that ram that all sins lay on his head. And so he takes them away from us. And thus, Yom Kippur, in a single day, atonement is made for you to cleanse you, and thus you'll be clean before the Lord. It's speaking of ultimately of the great act of the Messiah would come through his death on the cross. Atonement was made for us to cleanse us so that through his death we can be clean before the Lord. And thus we now can have access back into Eden through him. When he died on the cross, the veil and the Holy of Holies, which separated us, that stuck us on the outside of the Garden of Eden, that veil was wrenched top to bottom. And now access to God was now made possible through him. So, that is how Yom Kippur fits into the plan of God. What's that mean for us, you know? You've got to climb into the effort here, don't you? God did all this to make a way by which we could be reconciled to him. But again, we need to take it. You know, he made a way, but will you respond to it? You know, it's kind of like a parent saying, I will, you know, who's run away, the child who's run away and stolen from their parents and, you know, and taken things and cursed them and ran off. And the parent sits there going, I'm willing to forgive you. My hands are open. I want to embrace you. I want to forget about all those stuff. The door is open. The bed is waiting. The meal's on the table. Come. But unless the child comes, there is no reconcilement. There is no embrace by their parent. There is no feast at the table. There is no rest in the bed. God does not grab us. Because even if he tried to, if the parent grabbed that child and said, I'm loving you, darn it, and shoved him in the house, they wouldn't be reconciled. There has to be an element by which he turns and says, I have done wrong. I want to come back to you. And that's the way the New Covenant pictures it. And the Torah is saying, the Torah is this giant picture that pictures God out there with his arms outstretched saying, I've done it for you. I've made the way. I've opened the door. I'm sitting there with my arms open. And sometimes we think of that imagery and it seems so like God's like begging us, like we're going to do him a favor by coming. We don't realize this is the awesome king of the awesome creator whom is utterly holy and pure. I mean, it's like coming, sometimes we need an analogy. I think of the most powerful person in the world whom before you tremble and he's just, you know, that's a fraction. That's a hair next to the greatness of God and the way it would make you tremble to ever come anywhere near his presence. Yet that one looks right at you. I know you, and that's the one who's holding his hands up to you. That's the one who's done all this work, all this effort, all these scriptures, all these years, all these centuries to open that door to take you in. If you let your mind for a moment consider it, it stuns you, destroys you. And can that really be real? And you can imagine if, when the scriptures say, if God did this for you and God is for you, who could be against you? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How can we not have confidence as we walk in this world? How can we think that the brokenness of this world can actually take us down? How can we think God's going to forsake us or leave us? Think of the confidence now you can walk in every single thing you do. There's nothing God can't do for you. So that's how Yom Kippur fits in the giant scheme of God's plan. Tonight, when we close our sermon, I'd actually like to ask Rob to come up. Because I think on Yom Kippur, as Jewish believers in Yeshua, our thoughts cannot be far from our people. I mean, we're here and we're having a time of worship coming before the Lord, but here we are, this little tiny group. As you think of our 14 million in the world, in synagogues, around, confessing their sins, not understanding what God has done to grant them atonement. And as a people, it wouldn't be right to go through this day without lifting them up and praying for them. And I don't know if Rob wants to introduce, but Rob actually has a poem and of a prayer, which we want us to pray together for our people.
A prayer for Yom Kippur. With atonement secure, we exalt you this day for removing our sin far as east is from west. Messiah you sent and promised was he to grant peace through his pain, to grant life through his death. But on this Yom Kippur, our joy is not full, as our people have yet to trust him whom we love. For their grief is still ours and their emptiness shared, as we cannot be whole until our people are whole. We do pray with them on this sacred of days that atonement be granted to Abraham's seed. This forgiveness is found in Messiah alone. May the eyes of our people gaze deeply on him, he who made full the sacrifice death of free will, paid the ransom so dear that we might be set free. As Messiah's own, serving him with our lives, we pray for our people, interceding with hope, that this Yom Kippur be a great day of atonement, of redemption and hope for our family and friends, that Messiah will open their eyes with his love, that his voice would be heard, that his truth would be known. On that day we'll rejoice. Yes, our cup will run over when we stand with our people, with Yeshua as Lord. Together, yes, indeed, we'll rejoice. Yes, our cup will run over when we stand with our people, with Yeshua as Lord. On page 14 is the beautiful responsive song, Ein Keloheinu. The words are few, actually, and yet so powerful. Look at that translation. There is none like our God, none like our Lord. There is none like our King, none like our Savior. Let's sing this together. Ein Keloheinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kimalkeinu, Ein Kimoshiheinu, Mi Keloheinu, Mi Kadoneinu, Mi Kimalkeinu, Mi Kimoshiheinu, No Del Eloheinu, No del Adonenu, no del Malkenu, no del Moshehenu, Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adonenu, Baruch Malkenu, Baruch Moshehenu. Let's say together the translation at the bottom of 14. We give thanks to our God. We give thanks to our Lord. We give thanks to our King. We give thanks to our Savior. Blessed is our God. Blessed is our Lord. Blessed is our King. Blessed is our Savior. Garrett spoke of the final and great shofar, the Tikiah Gedolah. At this time, I call Zechariah ben Gershon to the altar, to the front, so he can blow the great and final shofar. Zach, come and join us.
It's heavy. He needs me to hold the end.
Tikiya Gidola. Let's stand for the closing benediction. Yivarech Echa Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Vyasamlecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His shalom, His peace. Amen.